Praise the Lord. So we're looking at living the spirit life through prayers, part six. And then our target really is to make sure that we are totally equipped, totally informed, that we have the information that we need so that we can live in full bloom of the spirit life. So we can live in full bloom of the life of Jesus, in total fullness of that life and all of its privileges for our body, soul, and spirit. To live in fullness of the privileges of this life that Christ gave us for our spirit, our soul, and what? Our what? Our number one is what? Number two is what? Number three is what? Body. So that you live in the total fullness, in the total bloom of what Jesus died to offer us. That the privilege that this eternal life brings to us is immense. It's totally immense. You know, no man can even begin to imagine what destiny is, what destiny has done for us. The Bible says that what God has done for us does not come from the heart of man. It's beyond what we can even think about or even imagine in our thoughts. What the implication of having Christ in your life. So, but it's something we can know as the Holy Spirit teaches us. It's something we can also experience. It's not just to talk, but to also live in full experience of the reality of the living Christ that is in us. And so prayer is very critical in all of this. In book of James 4:2, it says, you lost and have not, you kill and desire to have, which means you want to have something, you get frustrated, you don't get it. You are struggling, you want this thing, you know you need this thing, you know this should be happening, but it's not happening. You say you do all of that, you desire to have and cannot obtain. You need healing, you are not getting, you say this one, you are not getting, you this one, you are not getting. Your life is just kind of frustrated because you know you shouldn't be led by anger, you shouldn't be, but you are still being led by those things, and it frustrates you. You know you should look, you should act differently. You understand it, but it's not happening. I was sharing with Anu. I said a lot of Christians have word and talk word, but it doesn't. They don't see the reality of those things in their lives. And so the Bible says you desire, but you don't have, and you cannot obtain. You even fight and war. Yet you have not, because you ask not. Because you haven't learned the place of prayer in all of this life of living in the bloom of the life of Jesus Christ. Now, I want us to, there's something that caught my attention as we were preparing this thing. And the Lord pointed it out to me. Believe you me, I've never seen it before. I never saw this before. Even though I read all these scriptures, but I never saw it before. It's found in Hebrews 5:7. This thing caught my attention, and the Lord brought me back to it. Hebrews 5:7. It says, who in the days of his flesh. That's King James Version. King James Version. Put it properly. King James Version. Who in the days of his flesh. In the days of what? I want you to say it. In the days of what? His flesh. In the days of his flesh. When he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. In the days of his flesh, Jesus prayed intensely. He prayed intensely. And don't forget that the scripture had promised him that thou shalt not leave my body to decay in the grave, to see corruption. But he prayed intensely to be saved. In the days of his flesh. Now, the thing I'm trying to emphasize here really is in the days of his flesh. My brothers and sisters, these are no more the days of his flesh. We're not living in the days of his flesh no more. When he was on earth here, those were the days of what? His flesh. When he took on mankind. He became man. And the Bible calls him the man Christ Jesus. He's no more man. He's no more a man. He's no more. These are no more the days of his flesh. And every Christian must know the distinction between the ministry of Jesus in the days of his flesh and the ministry of Jesus now in the days of his spirit. These are no more the days of his flesh. And we must understand this, that there's a difference between what he did in the days of his flesh and what he's doing now in the days that is here by his spirit. They're not the same thing. And Paul said something amazing. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:17. But he who is joined unto the Lord is one what? Spirit. Is one what? Spirit. So he's talking that Jesus is here by his spirit now. These are no more the days of his flesh. These are the day in which he's right here as a spirit, not as a human being. That is why he could enter the house with no door. The doors were locked and he came right in. He walked right in. Human beings don't walk right in like that. He walked right in. And that was why he could disappear from them. They would talk with him, he'd disappear. They won't see him anymore. Because these are the days of his spirit, church. Every Christian must be aware of this and treat Jesus exactly as a spirit being, not as the flesh. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now, the Lord is what? Is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Brethren, the Lord is that spirit. And that's why he lives in us. Not as flesh, but as that spirit. These are the days of his spirit. And he is that life that God gave us. In 1 John 1:2. This one who is life itself. 1 John 1:2. For the life was manifested. I'm reading New Living Translation. This one who is life, what? Itself was revealed to us. And we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is what? Eternal life itself. He was with the Father. And then he was revealed to us. Christ is not here. These are no more the days of his flesh. He's done. In the days of his flesh, he went to the cross and they killed him. He died. He does die no more. He's no more a human being. He's not human. He is spirit. Period. He is spirit. And he is eternal life itself. He is life itself. Pretty soon you are going to see that Paul, when he didn't understand this, made huge mistakes too. 2 Corinthians 5:16. King James Version. 2 Corinthians 5:16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man what? After the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after what? The flesh. We used to identify him as a human being. We used to, all the things he did while he was here, awesome, and they are true, but he's no more human. Brethren, now he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's no more human. He's spirit. That's why he dwells among us. That's why he lives in us. That's why he walks in us, and we can't see him. But he's a spirit because he's real. Paul said, look at what Paul said. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yet though we have known Christ after the flesh before, yet now, henceforth, know we him what? No more. I used to think of Jesus as what the Gospels told us, which is true, absolutely. But he's no more a human being. He's the Spirit. He's here by his Spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. The Spirit of Christ. Jesus, when he was going, he said, I'm coming back to you. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I'm coming. He said, I'll send this way, but he said, I'm coming back to you. And he came. He's here. He lives in us. He's a spirit. Can I hear amen? In the days of his flesh, they could kill him. They could do this. You can't do that no more. You can't do that what? No more. He's the boss now. He said to the Father, he said, give me the glory I had before we created. God said, I'll give it to you. And he's back to who? He is Lord of Lords. He is God. He is God. He is a spirit. He's not a human being. He's here. He's with you. He is life itself. He's in you. You don't have to see him. You don't have to touch him. But he lives where? I heard somebody tell a story that one Hindu woman came to him. Hindu. I think it's Hindu. Hindu. They have too many gods, right? So he said to him, he said, where is the address of your own God? Because the woman became a Christian. He said, in our own Hindu before, we used to have address for our own gods, and we used to see them. And you go, Buddhist. Say, we used to go, we know this Buddha, this, we know this. So we go there, we know the address, where they are. So we go there and chant prayer. He said, but since you brought me to Jesus, where is his own temple? So I will go there and chant prayer for him. You know, somebody who just got converted. And this preacher said, he said, how do I talk to this Buddhist and tell him that Jesus has no... And he said, the woman told him, he must have an address now since he's God. Because where I came from, all of them have, we know where their temples are. I said, where is this one you told me to worship? And then this man went to God and said to God, this question, what will I tell him? And the Lord gave him scripture. Christ is in you. He said, tell him the address is you. The address is what? He said, go back and tell him that the address is what? You know where Jesus lives? The Bible says we have been built up a place of habitation for him by his spirit. You must know this. Otherwise, you'll be thinking about him as human. And you want to see him. You want to see what he does. We want to see this one. You don't have to see nothing. Paul said, I used to think of him as human. He died on the cross. He did this. Yeah, he did all of that. But now he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Spirit. He is in me. I don't have to see him. He's right where? He rises where? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Now, that will help us to begin to understand the spirit life that we have. That Christ is that eternal life. Christ is that life that we have. It's not our life. And that's why you don't live it. He lives it in you. He does it. He is the one that does it. You don't do it. If you could do it, you didn't need him. So he brought us his life by coming to live in us. Can the church say amen? Now, the Bible even contrasted this thing a little bit. Romans 5:10. I need to have time up there. It helps me to plan how fast I go. Romans 5:10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, by the death of what? His son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his what? His life. Did you see what the Holy Spirit is saying? I've read this scripture, and I'm looking at this scripture. Many times I'm looking at this scripture. We are reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved now by his what? Life. I'm looking at this. And then all of a sudden, it dawned on me that it's talking about the ministry of Jesus in the days of his flesh, when he died to save us, and the ministry of Jesus in the days of his spirit, when he's alive in our lives, to keep us saved. He saved us by his blood. He keeps us saved by his life in us. He saved us by his blood, but he keeps us saved, keeps us safe by his presence in us. If he's not, the Bible says, if he didn't rise, then we are for all men what? Most miserable. So, by For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Now he switches. Look at much more being reconciled, we shall be. See, he switched from past tense to what? Present tense and future. He said, this is what happened before. In the days of his flesh, he died, shed his blood to save us. But now he's living by his spirit. He's the one keeping you and me because it's the life we have. We shall be saved by his life because he's alive in us, because he's in our midst. You need to know these things. Otherwise, you'll think that spirit life is your effort to make. The spirit life is not effort to make. Your spirit life is what Jesus does. Because he's the life in us. And he's alive because now he's the spirit. We are saved by his life. Now, let's see some other scriptures to confirm this thing. First Peter 1:5. And through your faith, this is New Living Translation. And through your faith, God is what? I didn't hear you. God is what? Protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. What he's saying is that he will keep you from backsliding until you meet him face to face. Through your faith in Christ. It's not through what you do. It's through total dependence on Christ. God is protecting you. Saved by his death. We were redeemed by his death. But now we are being saved. We are being kept. We are being preserved by his life. The one that is alive, Christ, is now the spirit in us, walking in us, helping us, protecting us, making us not to backslide. Now, there's another scripture that will help us understand all of that. Jude 24. Okay, New King James Version, that same place. First Peter 1, New King James Version said, who are kept? Yeah, New King James Version. First Peter 1, 5. First Peter 1, 5. Just King James, New King James Version. The same one I just read, the New Living Translation. Who are kept by what? The power of God. Who is the Christ is what? Power of God. Who are kept by the power of God? Through faith. It's always through faith for salvation. Remember, we are saved. He said we are saved by his death. Now we are being preserved by his life. Who are saved by the power of God through faith? For salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. What is this salvation ready to be revealed? Is that he will preserve you until you see Christ what? Face to face. So that you don't backslide and not get out of faith. So you see that when we talk about the spirit life, it's not just you trying to be a nice person, you trying to be good. Actually, with God, you can't be better or better. Forget it. There's nothing like better. One sin knocks you out. You don't have to commit three. It's just one. You don't have to commit 10 before God says you're done. It's just one. The lie you told yesterday, today, is enough. So there's nothing like coming to God and say, Lord, you know what? I'm now a better Christian. You really? Friends, there's one righteousness that God takes. It's not yours. It's not mine. All our righteousness is what? Futile. The only righteousness that God accepts is 100%. The one that has no sin in it. And that's the righteousness of who? That's all. Don't play game with that. Won't go far. We might as well humble ourselves and know we have nothing to bring at this table. That's why we depend on him by faith. We are kept. We are kept. We are kept. Jude 24. Now, to him, who is able to what? Come on, can we read it together? To him who is what? Able to keep you from. Which means if you remove him, you will stumble. So you can't come to him and say, God, I'm better now. No, he's the one that's building you up now. He's the one doing everything. He's the one keeping me and you from stumbling. And if I was stumbled a couple of times, he brought us back. Maybe people didn't know. We'll keep you from stumbling. And to present you, what? Faultless. Before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. So you see, we are saved in the days of his flesh. He died on the cross, but now he's resurrected. He's now no more a human being to die no more. You can't touch him, nothing. He's the Lord of lords, the kings of kings. The fact he's been exalted above everything. At the name of Jesus, every knee bows. He's now spirit. God is a spirit. Jesus is a spirit. God is what? A spirit. Jesus is what? A spirit. And the Bible said that God is the Father of spirits. Jesus now is a spirit. That's what the scripture is teaching us. That we're saved now by his life, his activity, by what he's doing in us. That is the one that keeps us from falling. That's why the scripture says that you and I have overcome what? The world. Because the greater, that's the only reason. There is no other reason given to us that will make me or make you overcome this world. It's only because of that greater one. If you understand me, say amen. You see, so the Bible says no man can now boast. I can't boast. That will humble me permanently. Completely. Because now, whatever I get is from him. Whatever, any good thing you see me do is him now. So why can I come now? I'll be saying, I'm better than dog, better than who we are. If there's anything you see in me, that's the one that is working, keeping me from falling. So I can't point a finger at him. Where do I get the, where do I get the other? Where? On what basis? They gave you food. You saw somebody who doesn't have, you're pointing a finger, but your own was given. You see, that will cure us of pride permanently. You know, pride is a sense of self-achievement. A sense of self-achievement. That's what makes us think, I need to be recognized in this church now. No, you don't need to be recognized. I don't need to be recognized. The only person who should be recognized is who? Jesus Christ. My brother Chris was sharing something with us yesterday, very powerful, man. At the believers meeting, it was very powerful, extremely powerful. He was sharing about the Laodicean church, how they thought they have arrived. And they thought they were good. They thought they were, that God should now be impressed. And he was saying that God told them, you are naked because you've thrown away the robe of righteousness I gave you. Now you are presenting your own. Right, and they say, you think you're okay. You say, but you're mad because only crazy people go on the main road naked. I hope we can't throw away the righteousness that Christ gave us. Because if you throw it away, you are naked. You don't have anything else. It's the robe of our righteousness. Jesus is our only hope of what? Glory. You know, I was saying here on Sunday how we must go back to scripture, and I'll talk about it more if you want to pray. Because the only confidence you have before God is Jesus. You don't have any confidence from anywhere. Jesus is the only confidence anybody will have. Faith in Christ is the thing that deals with their evil conscience. That's what the Bible says. The only thing that deals with evil conscience is the blood of Jesus. If you put your the only hope of glory before God is faith in his Son, our Savior, our Lord. His name is who? Jesus. That's the only hope of glory. Create your own hope of glory, you draw zero. So he's the one, he's alive down by his spirit. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? In the days of what? His flesh. He died on the cross. But now he's risen. These are the days of his spirit. He's living by his spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ is right here. It's one spirit, the Spirit of God, the same Spirit of Jesus. They're not divided. But it's right here, keeping us from falling, walking in me to will and to do what? His good pleasure. It's the one. Let me tell you something, brethren. You see this prayer we're talking about? When he moves you to pray, you pray. The Bible is saying, the day of his power, his people shall be willing. When he moves you to pray, you pray. Actually, God has, there's nothing God does except people pray. And he will make them pray. You can resist him, he'll find somebody else. You'll get it done. You'll get it done. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Anytime God begins to stir your heart to pray, he's about to do something huge. And you are part of it. Anytime the Spirit of God begins to move you about prayer, he's been stirring my heart about prayer. Oh, man. You have no idea what I'm talking about. I don't know how many hours sleep I grab. Because I can't sleep. I got to pray. I got to. Man, I got to. I have to. This is not a question. I have to. Anytime God starts moving you to pray, he wants to do something huge. And somebody must pray for it. Can I hear amen? That's why he won't let me talk anything about prayer. It's prayer. Haven't you listened to me recently? All I'm talking about is what? It's burning my spirit. It's burning in my spirit. I don't see anything else. It's burning in my spirit. It's burning in my heart. It's burning. Man, it's burning in my heart. I don't want to do it. I want you to pray. Look, if you hang around me, I wish like all I want to do, can we pray? Because something is really shaking up somewhere. It's really shaking up somewhere. I'm telling you. And so we need to now constantly pray. We need to pray. Since the power of God is the one doing all of this, we need to pray as we were instructed with all manner of prayers as our act of total dependence on God. For a man can receive nothing unless it is given from where? From above. We pray as an act of desire to see the promises of God fulfilled. There are some people nonchalant about the promises of God. We talk about this, they only talk about it in church. Once they leave church, they don't forget it. They don't even remember it. It doesn't come into their radar. It doesn't mean anything to them. How can you experience it when it doesn't mean anything to you? Yet it is through these promises we become partakers of divine nature, become partaker of this spirit life. To live in this full bloom of this spirit life is through these promises that Jesus fulfilled for us. It's through that we become exactly partakers of his divine nature. But now, to some Christians, they don't even know them. It doesn't amount to anything. They don't care about it. Because they think I go out, I'm going to be better. I'm going to be a good person. I do this one, and I do that one, and I do all of that. So, prayer is what makes God know that you're really interested and you desire to see these things happen in your life. That you desire to see it, even though God promised them. But you pray about them. That tells God you really desire to see these promises come to pass. They don't happen casually. And remember, the enemy will try to resist us too. He'll try to fight us back. He'll try to steal what God has given us. So we need to really develop this attitude of praying about the word of God, about the promises of God that God has fulfilled in our life. And we pray because God says, if you ask, it shall be given to you. And we, like we said the other time, we need to pray constantly and with all our heart. All our heart. All our heart. A strong desire. Everything from God we get by faith. Faith activates this power of God. So we need to pray. I was telling, and I said, do you know the Spirit of God was hovering over the earth and the word came and creation came. I said, the anointing and the word work together. They work together. They agree and they work together. When you pray, you generate power. When you pray, you make much power what? Available. It comes with the word, it jams and creation takes place. But you have to pray the prayer that is based on the word of God. It's not just all this all-night prayer that's baseless and worthless. It has to have a purpose in your prayer. So there is this, you know, we have a couple of prayers that we identified that the Christian has to pray about, as the scripture told us, the prayer of worship and thanksgiving, prayer of faith, which I'm going to talk about today, prayer of faith or targeted prayer, where you are targeting something to happen, prayer of agreement, prayer of commitment, praying the Holy Spirit, there's a consecration, prayer of consecration, that is congregational prayer. Don't worry about names. The important thing is just pray with all prayer. But these same names just help us to identify these prayers so that we can understand them and how they function. And they don't all function the same way. They have different rules that guide them. You don't just pray anyhow, brethren. Follow the Bible. What did I say? Follow the Bible. Now, there are two things that we must note as we talk about all of these prayers. You have to have a goal. In every prayer, you need to define actually what you are looking forward to see. It's very important. I said it the other day, I'm saying it again. Don't do things because people do. Don't get into fasting because just fasting. You have to define. There has to be a purpose. You have to live a purposeful life now. God is very purposeful now. When Jesus came, he told us what he came to do. He said, I came to seek and to save the lost. He said, I came to bear witness to the truth. He told us what he came to do. There was purpose in his coming. He didn't just come, you know, beating out anything, whatever. Let me see what I would do here. No, he had a purpose. So when you want to pray, you got to have a purpose, brethren. You must have a goal in your heart that this is what I want to see happen. This is why I'm praying. This is what I'm doing. And also, by faith, decide that you must see that thing come to pass. If you don't make up your mind at the start that you are going to see this thing, it's like a project. If you don't make up your mind, you are going to see this thing through. If the enemy resists, you give up. Jesus said, before you start building, count the cost. Make up your mind that this thing is going to happen. You are got to see this thing happen. You must decide it. And say, come rain, come what? Sunshine. I'm praying this thing. I will see this thing. And then get ready to resist back the devil, nah? Because he tries to fight you back. And then we start praying, it looks like nothing is happening. In fact, sometimes things go worse, self. But that's when you really need to put your heel down and know that I got to get this thing through. You have to make up your mind that I must see this thing come to pass. Just don't beat about the bush or do copycat, copying people, mounting words that don't mean much, that don't come from your heart. It must be your own words. It must be your own words. It must be your own desire. It must be what you want to see God do. It's not. Don't copy me. Don't copy me. Can I hear amen? 2 days ago, I prayed from here. In my car, I got into my house praying. As I was walking, the Lord said to me, what do you, let's see how he put it. What do you want to see happen? That's what they asked me. He said, what do you want to see what happen? In other words, define for me what you're looking for. What? And I gave him. Yeah, are you kidding me? I said, opportunity has come. I gave him. And I'm not giving up by the grace of God. And you too, you are not giving up. Can I hear amen? We are in this together. This year will be an awesome year. It's already an awesome year. Can I hear amen? So number one, you must have a goal. You must have a purpose in your prayer. Number two, you must decide, I will see this thing happen. Number three is that don't beat about the bush. You need scriptures. You need scriptures. You need scriptures to define your basis of expectation. You need scriptures to build your faith. You need scriptures to renew your mind before you pray. You need scriptures. Brethren, look up here. Let me make this very important statement. If you pray with a carnal mind, you will get nothing. I'm not kidding you. You will not get anything. Because the Bible says the carnal mind does not receive from God. That's why you must renew your mind and make sure your mind is spiritual. It's not carnal. You're not thinking carnally when you want to pray. It's important that we do that. And my brothers, I want to tell us something. My brothers and sisters, please, I want you to listen to me. There's a reason God gave us the Bible. You know, I went to change, and the Lord told me, he said, there's a reason I gave you the Bible. I packed my car, started writing. He said, there's a reason I gave you the Bible. I gave you the Bible so that you will not be in doubt as to what I'm telling you. He says, so that it will be an arbiter of doctrine. So in case you're in doubt and there are disputes, you go back there and see exactly what I said. He said, I gave you the Bible so you don't forget. Because forgetful hearer is the same thing as somebody who doesn't know what it is there. I gave you the Bible for a purpose. I gave you the Bible. I would have spoken on my words and no Bible. But I gave you the thing in written form. So you go back there and renew your mind because you can forget. And we have to take advantage of this Bible that God gave us. We need to go back there. Jesus told us how to pray. But we must listen to him now. He said, if you abide in me and my words, what? Then you can now pray. You have to let the word abide in you. Don't jump into religion, my friends. Don't. Because you go with carnal mind. And the devil attacks our mind furiously. If you have challenges in life, he will make you afraid. He will make you afraid, I'm telling you. He will try to frighten you. And without fear, you can't pray. You need to go back to the scripture and fight the fear back. You need to go back to the scripture and meditate on that thing until fear rises in you. You just have to. It's very, very important that, and that's what I was saying on Sunday, trying to teach us how to use these promises in prayer. How to come before God. I do that all the time. Come before God with these promises. It's now in my head. So I don't have to write it. But you can write it if you're starting off. All these promises in prayer, I appropriate them daily. Unless I don't start praying, I start appropriating them, running through them in scripture, thanking God for this. And then from that, I see some prayer topics begin to come out of them. Out of them. Prayer topics. You can pray 3 hours, you won't know. I'm not kidding, you won't know. You won't lack what to say. You won't know. Because once you start from all those things, you see the Spirit of God opening. I'm showing you how it applies to your life. So you use it to pray for this. This is why this will happen. It happened. You see the topics coming. So it's important that we renew our minds with the Word of God. Meditate on it so that you don't pray with carnal mind or pray with fear. We need to keep the Word of God in view. Now remember that we're tackling a couple of things. Jesus told us that when the word is preached, then they are coming the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown. So the devil is interested in stealing the word from your heart, especially when you have something fearful to challenge that comes. He wants to implant fear in you. He wants to take away the, you won't even remember the words you know. He will try to take it away from you. And then we remember that the Bible says that we need to be rooted, because if we are not rooted, when tribulations and persecutions arise because of the word, we so stumble, we'll get offended immediately. So I've been praying, God is not doing anything. My friend, go back to the word. Get back to the word. When you are pressed, you give up, you get offended. And then he said, they know the cares of this world. These are the things we are contending with. These are the things we have to overcome. Every one of us have the cares of this world. Now, we all walk now. We go to work. We have families. We have cares of this world now. If you don't go to the world and get it rooted again, simple cares of this world can knock it out. You forget it. You forget it. By the time you are in your third job, how many of you are doing 5 jobs? Okay, 4. Okay, I won't go further because that will be everybody. By the time you are in your third job, fourth job, cares of the, okay, leave job, come home, self. Come home. Things in the family. I'm not kidding you. Things in the family. Your wife, you say, he didn't greet me. By the time you sort it out, your son will call you and say, sorry. Who said that? I withdraw that. Hey, I'm missing my dinner. Oh, your children will bring this one. School will call. Has school called you before? Yeah. You are talking of school. I mean, I'm telling you, cares of this world is real. We can't pretend it's not real. It's real. And many of them is legitimate. Those are the things we have to attend to. You have to attend to them. I used to, when we graduated out of high school, I woke up in the morning rushing out to take him to school. I remember he's graduated. I said, praise the Lord, I have graduated. Because come rain, come shine, I'll take him. Daddy will take him. I'll take him. So this day, at least I woke up in the jack. I ran out. I said, am I late? I said, wait a minute. They just graduated. I went back to sleep very well. So I'm done. No more, I'm done. If you want more children, we're not having. I'm done. I'm not going to carry them to school. I'm done. And then, brethren, let's be real. All these cares of this world and tiredness it gives you on your flesh, we are human now. You feel tired. And yet you have to pray. Yet you have to deal with these things. And I'm not talking about if you have a landlord or mortgage. You know, I talk about youths that are out every time they're on the phone. Don't worry until they pay their first mortgage. Phone will stop. You don't have to make too much noise. You don't have to. The first time they pay first mortgage to Bank of America, phone will stop. And then they say they are waiting. We wait them and rejoice with them. Don't worry. The next time we see him, he's carrying Johnny in his hand. That is where he will be staying with Johnny. All that phone will stop because little Johnny will be crying. Say, this child won't let me do. Yeah, no more phone. He's not the boss. I have to carry Johnny now. I have to call him. Life gets more complicated as we grow. So right now, there is nothing else. So we have time to, I don't know how they use two fingers to be doing this. I can't do it now because I have to pay mortgage. I don't have time for that. So what I'm trying to say is that the reality of life is that life can be complicated. So you need to go back to scripture and remind yourself. Because in the business of these things, we can forget. This is real. There's no pretending about it. Can I hear amen? And so you have to go back because you have something important you want to engage in. It's called prayer. Now, we talked about prayer of worship. Prayer of worship and thanksgiving is a prayer of fellowshipping with God alone. You are not asking God what? Anything. You can do that. You mustn't ask God something. There are times you just go to God just to go and praise him, worship him, thank him. My daughter told me that yesterday. Say she was doing that. She was sharing with us at the believers meeting. That meeting is so powerful. It was how she just woke up and decided to just worship God. Yes, it's called prayer of worship, prayer of thanksgiving. You can do that. Just hang out with God and bless him. And it's so powerful. And things happen. Things really happen. It's such a powerful thing. God can show you stuff. Such a powerful thing. God is fearful in praise. And you appreciate God. You just appreciate him for what he did for you on the cross. You thank him for everything he's done. Thank him for his being faithful. Just worship him. Man, if you really follow the scriptures and thank him for everything Jesus did, let me tell you, 1 hour, you are not done. Sometimes 2 hours, you are not done. Because these things will flow from one thing to another. You just want, you get lost worshiping. This one will come up. You're thanking for this one. Sometimes, 30 minutes, 15 minutes. It really keeps, it's an amazing type of prayer. Just to hang out with God. But then, like I said on Sunday, I recommend that every prayer starts with this prayer of worship. Because you renew your mind as you are doing these things and your confidence comes up. You are confident because you have to come before God with what? Boldness. Amen? Acts 13:2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted. They were not asking anything. They were just blessing God and praising God. Then the Holy Spirit spoke to them. Say, separate to me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I've called them. So there are times to do that prayer of worship, but like I said, I would recommend that every prayer starts with that. You enter his course with what? Did I mix it up? You enter his course and then enter his, you enter his gates with what? And enter his course with, So every prayer should start with that. But like I'm saying, there are times you're asking nothing. You just want to go and bless the name of the Lord and just worship him for all he's been doing for you. Show some gratitude. Now, there is this other prayer that is called the prayer of faith. Everybody say the prayer of faith. That is a prayer where you are targeting something. You want something to happen. There is something you are targeting. Man, This is serious business, because now something must change. Something must change. You are target. There is something you have in mind you want to see change. Brethren, you don't let your life run rough. Don't let the devil run rough shoots on your life. Don't lose control. Don't be sitting down and giving excuses and looking for who will come and visit you and massage you with sympathy. My brother, sorry, sorry. My friend, knock it off. Knock it off. Tie your wrapper and get down to business. Something must what? Change. He has to change. It must change. It has to change. That's what I mean. Make up your mind. This thing has to change. Is this not what God promised me? This is not the life that Jesus gave me. This is not my privilege. This is not the thing in the kingdom. No. I'm not accepting this. This has to change. They go to God in prayer. You target it. It has to be specific. Like the Lord asked me, say, what do you want to see happen? There must be something you want to see happen. If you are a head of ministry, I was telling you as a Thrive Church, head of ministry, Sunday school teacher, whatever, listen to me. You must pray prayer of it, because there must be something you want to see what happen in the lives of these people. There is something you want God to do. You see these people I'm teaching, you have a target. There is something you say, God, this has to happen in their life. And you have to write those things down so that you are not confused, so that you are not distracted, so you are not praying, you are not inconsistent. You don't pray randomly. You have to pray in order. These are the things, like I said, all these business of things can throw you off course. But because you have it written down, you focus on it like lesser. I'm going nowhere. Because this thing, I must see it happen. If you understand me, say amen. I must see it happen. Again, you now have to have scriptures, that you have to meditate on it, then start your prayer with worship, then begin to pray as the Spirit leads you in prayer. And then let's see some examples of this targeted prayer. What did I call it? Which is prayer of faith, prayer where you want to see something change, you want to see God do something. Look at Ephesians 3, 14 to 19. When I think of all of this, Paul is talking about the people he's preached the gospel to. When I think of all of this, I fall to my knees. I fall to my knees and pray to who? To the Father. Paul, what are you talking to God about? The creator of everything in heaven and earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will, number one, I didn't hear you, number one, empower you with what? Inner strength through his Spirit. Look at his target. This is what I want to see God do in the life of these people. Targeted prayer. You can pray this for yourself. You can pray this for your children. You can pray this for your wife. You can pray this for the people God gave you to teach Life Center, and that you can pray this targeted prayer for them. Continue. Then Christ will make his home what? He said, when this thing happens, then Christ will be real in your heart. You will now begin to believe that he lives there. You now begin to believe that Jesus is there. Then Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust in him. Then your roots will grow. You see the benefits he's talking to come out of that first one he said, I'm praying for you. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. 18. And may you have the power now. See the thing he's targeting again. May you have the power to what? Understand. All as all God's people should. How wide, how long, and how high, and how deep his love is. Now, you don't go as a Sunday school teacher, Life Center leader, and be complaining they are not understanding me. My friend, get on your knees and pray. God didn't send you there to be a fault finder. God sent you there to pray. Targeted prayer. Lord, give them the power to understand this thing. Give them, Lord, they have to understand this thing. And you stay on this thing, Lord, open their eyes. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete. See, he talks his target. He said, this is why I'm praying this topic. Then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life You see what we're saying? The fullness of life. Living in the bloom of the fullness of the life of Christ and power that comes from God. See his targeted prayer? Let's take one more here. Colossians 2, 1 to 5. Colossians 2, what? New Living Translation. I want you to know how much I have what? I didn't hear you. I have what? Agonized for you. Man, he said, I prayed my heart out for you guys. Agonized for you and for the church in Laodicea and for many other believers who have never met me personally. Look at what he was saying. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand what? God's mysterious plan, which is Christ. See what he was agonizing in prayer for them. He had target. He wrote it down. This is what I want to see happen. He's not beating about the bush. This is what I'm talking to God about. In definite terms, it's what I want to see happen in your life. I want to see this happen. You know, you can move it and move it into your own personal life. There are certain things you want to see happen. If you are not satisfied where you are, pray. Go to God in prayer. Praise the Lord. This hallelujah is small. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. 1 Timothy 5, 4. But if she has children or grandchildren, talking of widows, their first responsibility is to show godliness at home and repay their parents. It's not talking of, okay, I don't know. And show them. Repay their parents by taking care of them. This is something that pleases God. Continue. Now, a true widow, a woman, now you can. It's not just widows. This is for every Christian. This thing he's talking about is not just widows. It's just for every Christian. This is applies to me. It applies to you. Any Christian who is truly in this world, I'm still talking about because of the difficulty of widowhood and the problems that come with it, is trying to say this is the solution. Now, a true widow, a woman who is truly alone in this world, has placed her hope where she prays night and day, asking God for his help. Targeted prayer. Very vulnerable position. You can be in any vulnerable position in this world, but you pray night and day. You have specific needs. You target it in prayer, night and day, constantly. Night and day, and God will send help. Can I hear amen? Now, we're not focusing on widows. I just started this, and then I want you to know it applies to me. It applies to all of us. Now, look at this one. Can we look at David self? Look at David, 1 Chronicles 17:23. This David is something else. 1 Chronicles 17, verse 23. And now, O Lord, I am your what? Servant. Do as you have promised concerning me and my family. May it be a promise that will last forever. Continue. And may your name be established and honored forever, so that everyone will say, the Lord of heaven's army, the God of Israel, is Israel's God. And may the house of your servant continue before you. Continue. Oh my God, I have been bold enough to pray to you because you have revealed to your servant that you will build a house for what? For him, a dynasty of kings. For you are God, O Lord, and you have promised these good things to your servant. Look at what he said. And now, it has pleased you to bless the house of your servant so that it will continue forever before you. For when you grant a blessing, O Lord, it is an eternal blessing. So, what was David praying about? He said to God, this is what you promised me, do it. You promised me this thing. Did God do it? Huh? Jesus is called the son of Abraham. What is Jesus called? According to this promise. Is this promise? A king will not, he said, will not lack a king on your throne. And Jesus came, an eternal king, the son of David. But David went to God and said, these are the words you promised. You have to take the word of God to God in prayer. He said, you say these things. You say these things. You say these things. Now, Lord, do them. That's why you have to go and have scriptures. Remember the Acts of the Apostles when they were praying. They said, Lord, this is what you said. You said that why are the kings of the earth and their princesses what? Eh? Why are the heathens raging? He said, you said all these things. He said, everything you have proposed, announced, everything you said is what is happening. Now grant us this. Grant us this. And the power of God came on them. See how those prayers are said? Some people pray prayer without the word. It's waste of time. Because you are not following what Jesus said. Jesus said, let my word fill your heart first. Then you can now pray according to my word. Amen? I said amen. James 5:14, finally. Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them what? Pray over you. Anointing you with what? Oil, what? But remember, the scripture says, by the stripes of Jesus we were. But they have to pray. They have to pray. Anointing with oil. Why? Because God has said healing is yours. So based on what God gave you, that's grounds to say this is the will of God for me. So you go to God in prayer. You go to God in prayer. You go to God what? In prayer. Now Mark 10:47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. He began to what? He began to cry out saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Continue to 52. Then many warned him to be quiet. You see, when you start this targeted prayer, the devil will try to push you, try to make things worse, try to make it, to discourage you to stop. That's why from the beginning, you must make up your mind. Whatever this thing takes, I will do it to get this thing happen. Because when there's opposition, you already made up your mind to fight back. Because there will be, they will try, but if you stand your ground, you crush him. Then many warned him to be what? Quiet. But he cried out all the more. See what the man did? The man was determined that this is going to happen. The crowd can't stop me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Then the next one. So Jesus now stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, the same people before, see what they are now telling him. Be what? Of good cheer. The same people. See what they are now. Rise, no, he's calling you. Then, brethren, see why you must. Then throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. See what was said. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want to see happen? You're shouting here, call me, call me, call me, call me. You haven't told me exactly what you want to see happen. What do you want me to do for you? In other words, what do you want to see happen here? The man defined it. Say, Lord. The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may what? This is my target. This is my target, Lord. I need to see. Then Jesus said to him, yeah, go your way now. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. I don't know if I communicated to you. I believe I have. Can I hear amen? So we have only dealt with the prayer of worship, you know, and then the prayer of faith. You say, praying, targeting that something must happen. And brethren, don't let your life just run loose like that. Now. We reign here on earth. Part of the way we reign is by praying. And then praying the will of God, the word of God, concerning you. Concerning you. When God made Adam, he told him to take charge of the garden. You need to take charge of your life by partnering with God concerning you. Don't just complain, you know, My children are doing this. My children are doing this. Things are not. Stop all of that now. All that murmuring and complaining is empowering the devil. The Bible says, if any man is oppressed or something, let him pray. Go! And say, Lord, the blessings of God make it through. This, my child, is a blessing from you. I'll stay in this prayer. I want to see him change. This is what I want to see happen in his life. This is what I want to see happen in his life. This is what I want to see happen in his life. And when you start praying some of these prayers, God will begin to show you what is the problem. Like he told me, he said, you know, some of the things that I talk about, they don't have wisdom. He said, pray, I'll give them wisdom. I said, really? He said, they don't have wisdom. He said, if you pray, I'll give them wisdom. He said, they lack wisdom, seriously. And the worst is that they don't even know. And they don't know what that thing will do to them. Do you know that wisdom will put a crown of what? On your head. Wisdom will preserve your life. People look for a job and think wisdom will promote you. You walk in divine wisdom, doors open for you. Because you walk in what God wants you to do, you see doors. Look, when God is moving in your life, doors open for you. When the angel came with Peter to the gate, what was happening? The gate opened for them. Nothing obstructed. Man, it shows, God shows up in your life. Gate does open. Is it not Sinadi's wife that went for an interview? And they said to her, you don't even speak English well. But we have to give you this job, and we don't know why. But don't tell anybody. You are not qualified. Strange. There's a present that made them do that. In the day of my power, they shall be. They said, if you step here, please don't tell anybody. You are not qualified. Because he just came from Haiti. He said, you don't speak English well. Now, but we must give you this job. We don't know why we are doing this. I know why. You know why? Now? When he opens a door, that's why I don't fight with people over. Brethren, we came to this world with nothing. Stop fighting. We live with nothing. I'm not kidding you. Stop fighting over all this mundane money. All these things have no value. These have no value. Seek Jesus. That's the only person you go leave this world with. Let me tell you, if he opens a door, no power can close it. Yeah, I'm not kidding. And when he opens a door, you don't have to struggle. He said, my fear will go before you. He'll go before you. He opens a door. They'll be calling you and begging you. His favor is powerful. His spirit is powerful. Jesus is with us by his spirit right now. Let's not think of him as in the days of his flesh. No, he's right here. Somebody say amen. I want us to rise up. Pastor. Pastor will come and take it from here. Let's begin to worship him that is with us.
Continue to worship him, continue to praise him for the exposure, for the information, for the knowledge, for what you believe that God has deposited in you tonight. It's another way of blessing you.